I was able to meet the mother of Saint Carlo Acutis on the day of his canonization and have a one-on-one conversation with her. And she gave me not only one, here's one of them, but seven second-class relics of his. Seven. The story is unbelievable. This saint, he is one of the most powerful saints that I have ever encountered in my life. Here's the amazing story. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me Coffee. Let's get started right now. How did this all happen? So, okay, where to begin? Now, this involves Saint Carlo Acutis, his intercession, and the souls in purgatory. So back in July, my wife and I decided to go to Ireland for about 3 weeks. We've been going to Ireland because of the souls in purgatory. They brought us there because of Knock. That's how that all started. And while we were there, a friend of ours told us about this hotel where they were going to be hosting a first-class relic of Carlo Acutis. Now, many of you know that because I went and he put me to work immediately. One of the people that was hosting it gave me about 180 Blessed Carlo Acutis at the time cards, which I touched to his relic. And then I sent those out throughout the whole world. That whole process was unbelievable. While we were there, Saint Carlo put me in contact with Gwen of Assisi. She is born in Scotland by Irish parents, but grew up in London. So she has a British accent, although she has kind of all that mixture in her. She works for a priest by the name of Father Antonio, whose job it is by Assisi, given to him by the Archdiocese of Assisi, to take around relics of Carlo Acutis whenever people from the English-speaking world request them or they come to visit. He's their main point of contact. She is his personal secretary. She has an amazing job. I met her. We kept in touch. Sometime after that, I forget when, perhaps sometime in August, I forget when it was, they announced the canonization dates for Blessed Carlo Acutis and Blessed Pier Giorgio for September 7th. As soon as I heard that they were both, that all that stuff had been canceled and then they were going to canonize them together, I told my wife, we are going. We are going to Rome. We bought tickets the next day, flights to arrive on the 6th, come back on the 9th. It was going to be a whirlwind. We had to arrange babysitting for our kids, all of that. But we were going to go. I had to be there. I was not going to miss that because I knew that this was going to be a world transforming, a history transforming event that these two youthful saints were going to be canonized at the same time. I was in contact with Gwen. We were talking back and forth. She told us about how she worked there in Assisi. And I was excited to meet her. One of the things that we arranged was that on the Monday after, we wanted to go to Assisi. And she said, well, actually, I have to go there too. And I said, well, why don't we go together? We're going to rent a car. Let us drive you. That was amazing because we had 2.5 hours to talk to her, get to know her, hear about her wonderful life and all the amazing things that she has seen and working up close with St. Carlo Acutis and the family and all of that. She knows all of them. She's in contact with all of that. She's an awesome person and God has done amazing things in her life. As we got closer to the canonization, we were getting in touch with some of those details, figuring out how are we going to meet? Are you going to be there? Can we meet up? And then I asked the dangerous question. I asked her jokingly, do you have backstage passes to the Mass and to the canonization? There are technically no backstage passes because there were no tickets for the event. Little did I know that she did have backstage passes. She was going to be in a special section reserved for the people of the Diocese of Assisi. Okay, and so she spoke with Father Antonio, and she said, hey, I have these two American friends. Can they be part of this group? Well, she got their response back to me a few days later, and she said, Alvaro, I have a surprise for you. Yes, I'm getting you backstage passes. I'm going to put a picture on here showing you what it is that she got us. Okay, so we got there to Rome. The first day was unbelievable. So many insane things were happening. This whole time, though, I have been secretly asking St. Carlo Acutis, can I meet your mother? Can I meet your mother? Can I meet your mother? It seemed like the craziest thing. I don't even know why I was asking that, but I was. So we were staying at an Airbnb north of Vatican City by about a 15-minute walk normally. For us to meet her, to get into the backstage pass, the entrance, we were supposed to meet at a specific gate on the south side of Vatican City. Vatican City is not very large. You can walk across it in like 15 or 20 minutes from north to south, from one wall to the other. So when I plotted out the walk on a normal day, it was a 30-minute walk from our Airbnb. So we were going to wake up that day at 4 a.m., which we did. I actually woke up at 3 a.m. because I was so excited and I was looking forward to that. And when we woke up and I looked on the map, there was all these things blocked off. I didn't know what they were because I've never been to a canonization in Vatican City. It's total madness. It's insanity. So we woke up at 4, got ready, went and had our coffee. Everything was calm. Then as we start walking to the northern part of the city where you have the colonnades, there's the two colonnades that kind of like embrace St. Peter's Square. There was, I kid you not, like 2,000 to 3,000 people in line, and they looked like they had been in line for days. It was insane. It was a mob. It was like a line of people, like about 20 people wide, and there was like about 3,000 people there. I mean, just, it looked incredible. They were standing there devoutly with flags, and my wife and I were like, we are fools. What are we doing? These people have been there for hours, and how are we going to skip all these people to get in? There's no way. They've been there for hours waiting, and we're arriving to this incredible opportunity late, and it's like 4:30 in the morning or something like that, or 5, whatever time it was, and we thought that we were being late. So I started kind of having this doubt in my mind. How are we going to get to the other side? Well, we found a way to get around them, and we start going down the main street. Now, you can come in from the north, you can come in from the south, and then you can come in from the east going in to Vatican City. That long street, it's like the entrance to it. It's a beautiful street. We were going to try there. So we went out to that part of Vatican City. And when we got there, there was a ton of people like us trying to get in, and we're all special, right? We all want to go see this. So we went in, we were talking to some Italian police, and the Italian police are not necessarily informed of what is happening in the Vatican because it's its own country. They have their own police and the Vatican guards, the Swiss guards, among other things. So they just kept telling us, go down and to the left, down and to the left. Just go down there to the left and you'll find a way to get in. Well, that was blocked off. And we were supposed to meet Gwen at that southern entrance at 6:30 a.m. Right then, around that time, it was like around 6:15. Now, if there had been no blocks, we could have gotten there in 15 minutes. But there were mobs of people, more and more flooding in. The feeling of it was like holy chaos. And Rachel and I were beginning to panic because we had backstage patches to one of the most important masses of like the centuries. And we can't get in because we didn't get there on time. And there's millions of people. It feels like there's probably like 100,000 people that were there, maybe 200,000. There were so many people and everyone wanted to get in. So eventually it became clear to us. We kept kind of trying to go in kind of this one section, and we couldn't, that we had to go around. If you went around through this tunnel, that was like a lot of people were actually already walking this tunnel that took you to the section, it would have been a 1 hour walk. When I was contacting Gwen at the gate that she was at, I asked her, told her, we're going to be late. Can you put us on a list? Can we get in after you go in? And she said, no, I cannot promise that. We have passes. We're all going in together. There is no way that I can tell the security here to wait for you. They're not going to know who you are. They don't have a list. There's too much going on. You have to come with us or not at all. We were praying to St. Carlo, but at that point, I started freaking out. I started being blocked. And I was like hopeless. It felt absolutely impossible. I thought, how is this going to happen? The impossibility of it is hard to describe to you how it felt like. It was like asking me to climb up a wall that's going straight up. So I said, Rachel, can you figure out a way for us to get a taxi? I need you to do that. My mind is not here right now. I'm so stressed. Because at that point, it was like about 6:20, 6:25. Time was running out. We pray, she prays. A few moments later, there were taxis going around, but it felt like a taxi came out of nowhere. She flagged the taxi down, and we got in. And I was like, I mean, what felt impossible, there were so many people everywhere. We were now in a taxi. driving, and it was 4 minutes away to get to the particular gate that we were supposed to meet Gwen. We got there like around 6:35. Miraculously, her group, Gwen's group, was still there, and that's how that all happened. We were given passes, we were given these bandanas, we were given St. Carlo hats. It literally felt like the prodigal son, where it was so far, it felt impossible, and then you get there, and a ring is put on your finger, you're put in a cloak, it's like sandals on your feet, you felt like you arrived in the heaven. We went in with this group, and this group that Gwen was bringing in with Father Antonio were people that had been promoting St. Carlo throughout the world, that have done incredible work for Carlo. We have only begun to do something, but we were like with royalty, and we did not deserve to be there, but we were there nonetheless. We went in, and we went in through the back of the Vatican, through the gardens. There was no one there. It was clearly, literally a backstage pass. I'm going to put kind of the video here of what it looked like. It felt like we were entering heaven through like this elite entrance. The sun was rising, and it was shining through this bridge. It felt like we were in heaven. Gwen's group went up the stairs to one section. They actually ended up being on the stage where people like Jonathan Rumi were there. To the left of the Pope, where Carlo Acutis's mother was, that group, for some reason, went there. We went with the rest of the people from Assisi down on the floor. Now, there was like 8 to 10 different sections in St. Peter's Square. It's a large square. I don't know how many, there's like maybe 40,000 people that can fit there. There was about 8 to 10 sections that were there. The mass was incredible. St. Carlos got us in there. And we were told that the Pope was going to pass in front of us in this one section. So 8 sections, kind of try to picture that. And the Pope passes on the Pope Mobile to all the different sections, waving us down. And we were like at the front of our section, where if the Pope would have passed, we would have seen him like inches away. Mass happened. He goes around. He goes to every section except ours. It's like we were cursed. Ours was the only section where the Pope didn't come. Everyone, as he was leaving, was like, ah, like this sigh of sadness hit all of us. I mean, there was thousands of people in the section across, in the section that we were in, that the Pope did not go by. Despite having an incredible moment and St. Carlo doing amazing things for us, we were downcast, Rachel and I, like you would not believe. We left the Mass, went to go have lunch, and were just sort of like bittersweet. It was weird. It was the weirdest feeling. Just around that moment, someone had been, who knew, watches my channel, knew that I was in Rome, told a friend of hers, oh, Uniquely Mary's in Rome. And she says, I know Uniquely Mary. I know Alvaro. And then all of a sudden, I get a text from my friend Elizabeth. She says, hey, let's meet up. I'm in Rome too. I did not want to meet with Elizabeth because I wanted time alone with Rachel, because we had spent all day yesterday exhausted. The following day, we're going to spend with Gwen and other people. I wanted time alone with Rachel. This is where it gets interesting. Elizabeth keeps messaging me, what are you doing? What are you going to do? What are you doing? What are you going to do? And I'm thinking, I do not want to meet with another person. I want one-on-one time with my wife. And then she starts telling me about the Purgatory Museum and the church that it's in. It's a Sacro Cuore del Suffragio church in Rome, which is a church we were going to visit that afternoon. She says, these are the opening hours. It opened at 4. And because of Elizabeth, I knew that. And I didn't say that we were going to meet up at, I was telling Rachel, let's have lunch, let's relax, let's walk around. That's our next destination. We get to the church like at around 3. There was a group from Croatia, and we were just there, Rachel and I. We were praying, we were talking, we were reflecting on everything, still with some sadness in our hearts. At 4 p.m., the opening time, a taxi arrives, and Elizabeth gets out. So we ended up meeting her, but not because we were wanting to. It just so happened that she got there at the time that we were there. And I said, Elizabeth, you're here. We start talking. We go inside the church. We look at the Purgatory Museum. We pray. And Rachel and I decided to finish our novena to St. Carlo that we had been doing right there in that church. And our prayer was as follows. St. Carlo, we are sad that we didn't get to see the Pope up close. We felt like we missed out. And we're sad that we didn't go up with Gwen up to the stage and to be right next to Jonathan Rumi. We're sad that we missed all that. But we're not going to be envious, and we're not going to be sad about it. We offer this to you as a sacrifice. Would you let us meet your mother? And that's how we finished the novena. Some moments after that, Elizabeth told me, Alvaro, do you want to go back to the hotel? I have a first-class relic that I was given by an aunt of Carlo. Do you want to come see it? Now, previously, she told me, let's go back to our hotel to meet up and talk, and I said no. But when she told me about the first-class relic, I knew that I had to go. So then we were like, okay, plans change. We're going to Elizabeth's hotel to see her first-class relic. We got a taxi, which took us a while to get. We were there like in about 20 minutes. And as we were going to the entrance of the hotel, which is this beautiful hotel south of the Vatican, there was this family outside with a young child. And the mother was telling the child, this was a very great grace for you to meet his mother and his father. And I thought, what are they talking about? Whose mother and father? We walk into the hotel, and sitting on the couch was the mother of St. Carlo Acutis. Within an hour of us finishing that prayer, she was right there. Right there. And Rachel and I were like, what is going on? I was so nervous, and I thought, I do not dare go up to her because it's like the canonization day and she's a busy woman and I need to respect her privacy. But she was already talking to someone else. She was just sitting there, and anyone that came up to her, she would talk to anyone. She'll talk to anybody. And she gives everyone that meets them one of these. So she is an unbelievably accessible person if you can find her. Right there, our prayer was being answered, and we were floored in shock as to what was happening. So we went up and we spoke with her for like maybe 5 minutes. I didn't speak to her in English because I thought, let me speak to her in Spanish because that might be easier. What did we talk about? I could play it for you. I'm not sure if I will, but I might play it for you, what we talked about. She basically told me that I need to become a saint. Now, since I was speaking Spanish, she thought I was from Mexico. So she starts naming off Our Lady Guadalupe. She starts naming off all the Mexican saints. And she basically was like, you need to become a saint like all the Mexican saints. So people of Mexico, I'm supposed to become a saint like the saints of Mexico. There you go. That's what we talked about. Everything that I wanted to tell her, because I was dreaming about meeting her and what I would say, I said none of it. Just like the prodigal son, none of what I was going to talk about did we talk about. But I did kiss her, like the Italian kiss where you go like that. I did hug her, and she asked how many children we have. And I said, we have 6. And so she gave us 7 of these second class relics. And afterwards, I was just spaced out in heaven. We sat next to her, and Elizabeth showed us her first class relic that she was given. She's going to take it to her church. And it was like, I didn't even care because his mother was right there. Like, we were on one couch. She was right there, like right over there. You know, someone pointed out that there's been 2 mothers that have had the privilege of being alive while their child was canonized, St. Maria Goretti and St. Carlo Acutis. And I met one of them. I didn't even meet the Pope, but I don't care. Meeting the mother of St. Carlos Acutis is better than meeting the Pope. I'm sorry if that offends you, but it's true. There's been 270 popes or something. There's been two mothers that are living while their child had been canonized, and I got to meet one of them. St. Carlo Acutis is the most powerful saint I have ever met. I have read about thousands of saints, visited their tombs, prayed with their relics, literally. And I've never received so many graces as those that I received from St. Carlo Acutis. He's my new favorite saint and the most powerful I've ever met. I'm sold like you would not imagine on this young man. and you should too. Whatever you want, whatever you need, he will give it to you. Healing from cancers, whatever. Conversions of your children. Ask this young man. He will do anything for you. And he has the power to do it. May God bless you through the intercession of St. Carlo Acutis today. That's it. That's all I got. If you want to support this channel, do it through Buy Me a Coffee. We're going to be talking a lot more about this saint on this channel. I'll see you in the next one.